day?
Well, this is a big surprise for us, but like my weaving, the weaving we've planned for in my life is the teaching of the weaving, and to be going in this direction is different, very different. And when we came in the building, looks very good. It looks very good what Costello's have got put together here. It was a challenge, but it's good.
A challenge in what way?
In the direction of the weaving. So it's how you put it to the framework. Yeah.
How is that different from when you do it normally for, say, regular use?
Well, we've always just got the centre as the rushes, the freshwater rushes. It's our centre, which is where we've got the bars, the framework now to connect onto, you see.
Yeah, and I guess it speaks a lot to the kind of popularity that Indigenous design is getting now, and I'd love to know from you where you hope to see this evolve to. You know, where do you see Indigenous design in Australia? What do you hope for it?
With what I can see here, it looks very good. It looks very good. It turned out to be a good method of weaving, and we've gone from teaching to making fish trap light shades.
And are you excited for tonight?
We're looking forward to it. We're very thankful for the invitation and for making this possible for us.
Cool. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time, Auntie. I'm very excited to see the works tonight and see you tonight.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yes, we'll see you tonight.
That was Jess chatting with Sasha, Paula and Auntie Ellen. If you're interested in checking it out, it's showing at Cascella in Rosebery until the 18th of September. And it's free, so make sure you go check it out and support some amazing Indigenous art all in the heart of Sydney. But look at that. It's a little past 12. We've gone a little bit over this week, but you know what? That's just what happens when you have too much fun. That's all for us today. So tune in next week. I'm going to be filling in for Nicole Beck for the next couple of weeks. So enjoy your weekend. Check out some good arts and culture. If you want to see some of those events from today's stories, you can check it all out online on 2SER.com/sohotrightnow. I'm out of here. It's been so much fun hanging out with you guys. So have an awesome weekend. In the meantime, I'm going to leave you with some Jeffrey Lewis. Here's an oldie but a goodie. It's Cult Boyfriend on 2SER.
The Misfits are cult rock and roll, worshipped by a few but ignored on the whole.
Meet the Feebles
is a film cult classic. It's basically unknown, but some say it's fantastic. Most women that I meet seem totally unfazed, till sometimes there's somebody who seems totally amazed. I might not be in magazines as a heartthrob face, but in a few devoted hearts I've found a strong fan base.
I'm a cult boyfriend,
not a mainstream show. I'm lonely or I'm worshipped by a lady in the know.
When you're a cult boyfriend,
life is always intense. They love me or they hate me, no one's on the fence.
Cerebus
is a cult comic book series. It's got fans, but it's never found in movies or in theories.
WFMU
is a cult radio station, always tuned to by a few devoted fans around the nation. For every time I couldn't get a second date or even first, why does one think I'm the best when all the rest think I'm the worst? All of those times no one at all wanted to know if I'm really all that awesome, wouldn't more people think so? I guess
cult boyfriend
is the term for me. It's always been quality, not quantity. A cult boyfriend's like a record in a bargain bin. No one knows its worth till a collector comes in. Who are some cult literary names I can honor? Maybe J.G. Ballard or Flannery O'Connor. Haggis and Fugu, that's like food for cult eaters. Jim Jones, Charles Manson, Father Yod, they're cult leaders. Anyway, the point being, do I have to be magical? Can't we date a few months, then move on, normal and casual? Suicidally alone and then totally smothered. It's so much pressure when you go from one extreme to the other. I guess cult boyfriend is the term for me. It's always been quality, not quantity. A cult boyfriend's like a record in a bargain bin. No one knows its worth till a collector comes in.
I'm a cult boyfriend,
not a mainstream show. I'm lonely or I'm worshipped by a lady in the know.
When you're a cult boyfriend,
life is always intense. They're in love or they're indifferent, no one's on the fence. probably ain't gonna go very far beyond an open mic. It's guaranteed, though, two or three people are really gonna like it.
Sound of butter. Have you always wondered what butter sounded like? A six-piece from Frio in the West, and they blend together much like you would trying to make the dairy spread. Soul, jazz, 90s hip-hop. Not that I think those elements go into butter, but you know what I mean. Blending a wonderful sound. And you can find their music on Bandcamp. They'll be playing, as I said, as a part of Big Sound. I could give you dates, but look, just head to the Big Sound website, bigsound.org.au. And if anything, if you can't get to Brisbane to see this, the one thing about this website is it lets you have a little bit of a sneak preview at all the talent there is in this country. And it lets you also, there's video clips and you can listen to the tracks That's what I would recommend to you. That's what I've done, and I've just gone through and chosen things I really like. So from Butter, I played you the track Butch and Bobito, and we started with Black Rock Band, and they have a release that is out on One Talk Music called Struggle. The album came out, I think it was last year now, yeah, May 2018, and we played you Binin Konborg from Black Rock Band. This is Playback, brought to you by APRA AMCOS. Two more acts now from this excellent festival conference. It's got so many things going on, and I mean, I've been the last couple of years, and I tell you what, it's a whirlwind. It's a wonderful experience, and the toughest part is of an evening when you're looking at all the different showcases and all the different talent that is on offer. You want to be everywhere at once. You want to sort of discover the secrets of cloning yourself so you can go and experience all of it. Well, this is one that I would definitely be heading to see and is, I have to say, fairly new to me. It's the music of Fletcher Gull, who came from the south coast of New South Wales but is now based in Melbourne, and inspired by the songwriters and poets of the 20th century, brings together vintage keyboards, warm guitars and a touch of modern electronica. I can hear a little bit of Flaming Lips in this. Other people have said the Shins. See what you make of Fletcher Gull. This track is Hyperthermia.
Oh,
Well, I could make three programs today out of all the great talent in Brayville. Well, I could make even more, to be honest. I've said three, but it could be more like 10. Such is the amount of wonderful music that is going to be a part of the Big Sound Festival. You're listening to Playback, brought to you by APRA AMCOS, and of course they'll have a big presence there at the festival. Towns, we just heard from. If you look at their photo, they look like they're a duo from some kind of 90s slacker comedy release. Towns are from Adelaide, and they have been absolutely ripping it up in that city with some fantastic singles. And now this is their opportunity to bring their talents to the bigger stage of Big Sound. The track I played for you, Safe to Stay, very catchy little number that really surges. It's got a real sort of power to it from this duo, Towns. We also heard from Fletcher Gull. Keep that name in mind. Hypothermia is the name of the track. A really fantastic tune. Playback brought to you by APRA AMCOS. Coming up towards the end of the program, as I mentioned, we will have in the studio the wonderful Brain Romance, who have the most incredible harmonies. And off the back of only one song, I wanted to get them in because together, this duo have separate solo careers that are fantastic, and you'll have heard me mention them, and I'll reveal that in just a little bit. As I was going through, I mean, there's just so much talent on offer at the Big Sound Festival. Here's someone that I hadn't come across before from Hervey Bay in Queensland. It's the music of Leonie Kingdom. She's an indie folk artist who creates music that has an emotional edge. It's really gorgeous. I checked out her Bandcamp site and chose this one to share with you. It's a really great song. This is Night Terrors.
Well, I never stood a chance when I watched the devil dance. I've got creatures in my head. They've been sleeping in my bed, and I feel them creeping in as the lights are growing dim. And I'll take you down to my hell if you promise you won't tell.
Do such a quiet place. You can't see the human race from on high. Vying to be seen, in between hearing what has been on your mind. Try to grow, try to see. Weightlessness is free. If only just to be. Keeping up with yesterday. The stars all look the same.
This is Playback, brought to you by APRA AMCOS. A lot of tunes I want to play for you. I've stepped aside from the Big Sound roster for that track. It's the music of Lost Ragas, and they have a third album that will be out very soon. I think it's coming out September the 2nd. It's called This Is Not a Dream, and this is the first single that came out from it called Keeping Up With Yesterday. Theirs is a wonderful cosmic Americana sound recorded at the Union Street Studios of Roger Bergadas. Look out for this album. It's going to be an absolute ripper, and they'll be certainly touring around, so you should catch them in action. Lost Ragas, the track I shared with you, Keeping Up With Yesterday. We heard from Leonie Kingdom, and she'll be playing at the Big Sound Arena coming up September 3 to 6. She's from Hervey Bay, so she hasn't had to go too far to the festival in Brisbane, but we wish her all the best on the big stage. Now, I said at the start of the program that, you know, you've got festivals like Big Sound that draw in young talent that are really hoping to gain attention, you know, and there's so many people vying for that in the music industry. But there are others that just go about each week playing music in small venues. Sometimes it's original, sometimes it's covers, but they do an amazing job. And so often you go out of a night, you may not even be expecting to listen to great music, and you'll chance upon it. I always suggest to people, go out and explore what is in your city or nearby. This is the music of Anna Seller. And Anna, along with Guy Straz, it has a deep love of Brazilian music, and I too have a great love of Brazilian music. I don't often get to play it on Playback, so I thought I would share with you this track that Guy and Anna wrote together called Bondi Beach, and they will be performing Saturday, September 7 from 8 o'clock at the Bondi Pavilion Theatre. If you happen to be in Sydney, get on down by the beach and get to see Anna Seller and Guy Straz in action for some Afro-Latin moods. This one, I think it's a beauty. This is Bondi Beach.
Capoeira in the sunshine, kites a fly high and high in my mind. Waves are rolling, skates are wheeling.
Look
hope you'll agree, a gorgeous track there. That, and I think one of the things I love about Brazilian music, if I'm in a really foul mood, I put it on and it cheers me up. I can see that this song will have the exact same effect. Anna Sella and Guy Straz, as I said, if you want to catch them performing, their Afro-Latin Moods, Saturday, September 7 at the Bondi Pavilion Theatre. This is Playback, brought to you by APRA AMCOS. Now, another duo who knock it out of the park as far as harmonies go and wonderful songwriting is Brain Romance. I'll tell you in a moment how their name came about, but Hannah Cameron, who was one of the very first artists we had on Playback, is a wonderful young folk singer that came through jazz training. So she's got a really different way of working with music. And on the other side, Brian Campo, who's been in more bands than I've had hot dinners, originally from Canada, moved to Australia, and is a very quirky and lovable character that has a deep, deep respect for all genres. And they often will, he'll often pop in up in different bands that are so diverse, from metal through to folk. But as Brain Romance, they released this single earlier this year, Honest Words, and it is so beautiful. I just had to get them in and have a chat to them about their project. This is them in session for Playback. This is Honest Words. I get goosebumps every time I hear that. And you can imagine sitting about, you know, a metre away from them was absolutely glorious. I invited them to the studios in Melbourne when I was visiting of Rolling Stock. Big thanks to Miles Mumford, who lets me spend time there. It's my sort of home away from home. And I started by welcoming Hannah Cameron and Brian Campo to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Now, it was funny because I was looking at it, and I'm not really good at puzzles normally, but one day it actually dawned on me where you got the name from. You just scrambled your names.
Yeah.
It's genius.
Yeah.
It was my idea.
It was Anna's idea. We were under a different moniker. It was Camperon, which is, once again, our names combined. And I was never fully satisfied with it, and Hannah one day suggested that her last name, Cameron, as an anagram, spells romance, and mine, obviously, brain. Coppa doesn't spell anything.
We tried.
Yeah. But then brain romance, and if we don't explain it to people and people don't get it, I think it's good because people can come up with their own interpretation, and it's good that way, and also it's just an easy name. It's ours.
Mm. It's a very good name. How did you get to decide to do this together?
Well, Brian moved to Melbourne, a year and a bit ago? Year and a half?
Oh, it's approaching 2 years now.
Is it?
Wait, it'll be November 2 years, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mistake.
Anyway, he moved to Melbourne and we knew each other just through mutual friends. And when he moved down, I was excited because I've always loved his music. And I wanted to get a guitar lesson, I think was how it happened.
Mm.
And then you just said, why don't we just play some music? And if I can teach you something, I will. And then we ended up playing through some songs. Is that what happened?
Yeah. Well, you had some new songs that you were writing at the time that I don't know if they suited a specific project, but you just kind of offered them. And I had some old songs that I'd written that didn't suit my project or any of my projects at all. And I guess they were just really melancholy songs and they suited what she and I were kind of doing and it worked out. And I think we've just put a lot more effort into writing songs specifically for this project. And
it's an interesting idea that you've mentioned that you've written material that doesn't fit in a sense because I guess you just imagine people write music and then they use it for their own means. But that obviously is somebody who's incredibly prolific in songwriting. Is that the case for you?
I think that I write and I listen to a lot of different styles of music and I challenge myself to write numerous songs, kind of like free association songwriting, I guess. And on occasion, I'll write, you know, a crappy hip-hop song, and sometimes I'll write a metal song, sometimes I'll write a bluegrass song. And for myself, my own project, I think it's the most diverse of the rest of my projects. But because I write thematically, so my last album, the theme of it, the concept was happiness and seeing positivity. And so for me to write a completely depressing song where no hope is available, it doesn't really suit that theme that I'm writing for. So it's more, you know, okay, well, now I've got a project where I can just
sad.
Yeah.
Brain romance is born.
Now, you're relatively new to Melbourne, but you're in Sydney before that, but your roots go further back to Canada, don't they? When did you first come to Australia?
I came to Australia on November 3rd, 2002.
Whoa.
Which makes it 17 years this November.
Yeah.
And yeah, I lived in Canada as a kid. I lived in France, and when I was in Canada, I met an Australian woman whom I was to have a failed marriage with, and so I remained in Australia.
Let's talk now about Brain Romance. The first single's come out, Honest Words, which is a beautiful song. And you were just referring before in the lead-up to playing it, and you actually made me forget the title because you just called it Dog. And of course, it's got that very, you know, the music is incredibly melancholic, but then just that line when it hits you, you know, the day after your dog died, it just, you sit there and go, oh, my God. So tell me about how this song came about.
Well, I wrote this song after a time in my life, and then I brought it to Brian, and yeah, it was sort of a song about coming to terms with the good and the bad in relationships and in life, and using that acceptance as a way of moving forward. So I guess in a way they're both songs. Today's both songs thematically move around moving on.
Yeah,
but yeah, so that's how it came about. And
And then, yeah, we wrote some harmonies and Brian came up with a very nice guitar part.
Well, the harmonies are stunning. Like, they really, like, absolutely melt together but just catch your ear. I'm wondering, in writing songs like this that have such a strong connection to you and relationships, and, of course, the, you know, everyone has been through a time where things have gone wrong and broken down. Do you need time after you've written that, after you've sat and you've looked at this, to actually then take it to the next step of recording it? Is it better done quickly, or is it better left for a while to let time heal, perhaps, before you actually commit it to a song?
I think there's probably arguments for both. I think, like, for this song, we did leave it a little while before recording it, and maybe, I don't know, I think sometimes it can be really nice and kind of cathartic to record something when you're feeling those things in a very fresh way, and sometimes it can be just too much, maybe. I don't know, what do you think?
No, I agree. I think either or, for depending on the song and what you want out of it. But I think if you record something very quickly, there is a freshness about the recording that you can't be changed with, you know, spending years on one song, which I don't personally like. But also, the beauty of spending a long time on a song is that you end up with something that's very precise and well produced. I much prefer personally the freshness of a recording, and I also enjoy the fact that if you play a song for a long time personally or with a band, the song develops on stage quite a bit, and you go back and listen to an album that you recorded 5 years ago and go, holy, like, my song is nowhere near what it used to be, but I kind of like that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a question, actually, if I can ask you, Hannah.
Okay.
That I was thinking of when you said, Paul, that the harmonies are kind of important. I think that a strength within our project is the fact that it is very harmonic. There's very big focus on our two voices harmonizing. And I, for myself, consider myself a strong harmonist. But my view of harmony has always been very linear, and yours, I find, has always been kind of odd, and there's always like ninths and sevenths. It's just things that I would never go for. So I'm curious if you can give me an explanation as to where that comes from, that interest.
Well, I studied jazz, so that might have worn off, you know. It left its mark. despite my best efforts. No, I like jazz. But I think that maybe it comes from there. I don't know that I, like, am actively searching for those sounds, but I think they just creep into my melodies, maybe, is almost like what happens, and then we have to harmonize off the seventh or the ninth or whatever it is as a way of, like, navigating it.
I think, having listened to your music for a long time now, Hannah, I'd agree that it's come from that, because when I first heard your early works, while they were dubbed folk, they were very different. You know, they had these little twists, and I mean, I guess I want to almost use the word progressive, in the sense of they do things you don't expect. And I think that's the thing I like about music, when someone offers something that offers a twist and a turn. So really what you're saying is these little, you know, different harmonizations or little things that you have to work with that are giving that unexpected turn. I think that's really lovely, and I think that probably does come from a jazz study, and you've taken that in a, I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad way of taking it, you've taken it in a really positive way, because it gives your music a unique kind of turn.
Thank you.
You're listening to Playback, and I'm interviewing Hannah along with Brian, who is helping me. They are Brain Romance. No, it's good. I really like it. You're the first person that's done it, and I like it. I like it when it becomes
I might even ask you questions.
Please do.
I have done that.
There is nothing off the table, I have to say. I have spoken to people in the past where I've actually been told, we don't talk about this, we don't talk about that, and I adhere to that. So, but I have nothing. You can ask me anything.
Okay.
So the question then is, does that mean that this project is solely a project that brings the melancholic to the table? Is there a... Because I guess the question that really resides with that is, personally, I think when I listen to... There are more songs I love that are deeply melancholic, that I like to be languid and float in, than songs that are sort of happy, you beautiful, love is wonderful kind of stuff.
And I wonder what that is about us as people, that we like to sort of wallow in that.
Yeah.
I would agree with you in terms of that feeling, and much of the music that I listen to is rather dark. I don't think my song today is completely depressing. It's actually about accepting, moving on, and going, okay, well, you know, we both screwed up, but we're getting along, let's move on. But what do you reckon, Hannah?
Well, I think that, I don't think that it's going to be an exclusively melancholic. I hope it's not going to be totally melancholic as a project. I think there'll be like light and shade. but I definitely love listening to sad or melancholic songs. They make me feel things, and I like feeling things, I guess.
Yeah, but I was just thinking maybe we should attach like a cyanide vial on there. On the record or something.
My mum the other day said she'd pay me $100 to write a song that was happy.
Oh, wow.
You're going to take that challenge. You're going to take that challenge. That's $100 in your pocket. I, as I said, quite seriously, Honest Words will be one of my favourite songs come year end, so congratulations for that. Oh, and you're going to leave us with one last track. Don't move on just yet, because you're going to play Moving On, aren't you?
Yeah, so sure will.
That was the dad segue. The last I'll ever do, I promise.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Easier talking about it than living life of forgiveness. One to both witness, seeing the way that we act to each other. Life of forgiveness gone, but you're moving on, and I'm moving on. We're hoping water that flows all around us will flow beneath us. Day that you freed us, you didn't need us, you couldn't feed us. We had our broken hearts, we had our feelings. Life of forgiveness gone, you're moving on, and I'm moving on. Let's keep the past behind, knowing in time that things will be better. Shameful of times that I've blamed you. Life of forgiveness gone, but we're moving on. We're moving on. We're moving on. We're moving on.
A very short and very bittersweet song there from Brain Romance, Moving On, penned by Brian Campo and Hannah Cameron, that make up this most delightful duo. And there's an album sort of ready to roll, and they'll release it in their own good time. You've been listening to Playback, brought to you by APRA AMCOS. I already did one dad joke about moving on, so why not move on to the second dad joke for the show? Moving On is an apt way to close this edition, because it is indeed the last edition of Playback. Thank you so much for your support, for all your great letters. Thanks to APRA, especially to Dean Ormston, for allowing the program to kick off, and to Karen Tinman, who each week is my offsider listening to make sure I don't say anything silly. I'm Paul Gough. It's been a pleasure presenting for you the best in Australian music, and you know that great music is still going to be around, and like Lazarus with a triple bypass, I will be back on a network near you very soon, bringing you the best in new music. I look forward to your company, whenever that is, in the future.
Yeah. was cold. The fire won't stop burning. Best protect yourself.
You really need a fan.